scores! Gilmore scores! With 1:03 left.
Off the glass, in left corner to Aguila. Aguila to the left circle. Passing to Yale, a shot. Save made by Aguila. Rebound, another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts.
Flames talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg and Aaron Vickers.
Hey, 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 happy Monday. Happy Thanksgiving Monday. And welcome to Flames Talk on this Monday, October 14th. With Aaron Vickers of NHL.com, it's Pat Steinberg in our Groundworks downtown studio on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. Talking the undefeated Calgary Flames, the 82-0 dream is alive. 3-for-3 to start the season. And that was a I obviously jest about 82-0, but that was a fun weekend at the Dome and in Edmonton. Hopefully your Thanksgiving weekend has been good and continues to be good. Hello, Vix. Happy Thanksgiving, pal.
Since you asked, I'm most thankful for you.
Aww. Vice versa. And Shan.
No, I don't recall bringing Shan into this.
No, I'm thankful for Shan and Cam as well. Shan, Cam, Vickers, Steinberg. That's your Flames Talk crew this hour on a Thanksgiving Monday. Text lines open at 960-960. That really was a hell of a weekend for the Calgary Flames. Fun home opener, 6-3 win over the Philadelphia Flyers, and then less than 24 hours later, rolling into Rogers Place in Edmonton, 4-1 win over the Oilers in a game that felt like it might follow the game script that a lot of other games in that building have followed over the last 4 or 5 years, where Oilers score early, feeling it early. You're like, oh, that's gonna could very well be a grumpy Oilers team. Jeff Skinner gets his first with Edmonton. It's 1-0, a minute 16 in. You're like, well, you know, it's a good start, 2-0, but this might get away quickly on the Flames, and then it didn't. And I really appreciate it again the way the Flames reeled it in. And honestly, from the three games they've played, the game against Edmonton was their closest to a full 60. Yes, they had to weather a little bit of a storm in that first period, but they did weather it. They only spotted the home team, a grumpy home team, one goal. They started pushing back in the second, took over in the third, and Vix, they're full marks for a 4-1 win over the Oilers. That was a hell of a weekend for the Calgary Flames, and I know it's early, and I know there's still lots to be determined here, but yeah, I think if you're a Flames fan and you just enjoy seeing what they do, you don't hope for losses and you're just here for the ride, that was a pretty exciting couple of games and a pretty exciting start to the season.
They're playing an entertaining brand of hockey, and for a team that's in transition, that's what you hope for the most if you're a fan, I would imagine. If you're media, you just hope that they make things interesting, whether it's game in, game out, or week in, week out, or month in, month out. And again, it's a small sample size. We're only talking about three games, and you kind of in jest go 82-0 dream still alive. Results aside, they're still playing entertaining hockey. And for me, that is a very important element, because I don't think necessarily anybody's expecting a division title or a run to the Stanley Cup final. But if you can keep things fun and interesting and entertaining day in, day out, game in, game out, you're on the right track, and it breeds energy in the room that's translated onto the ice, and we've seen that through the opening three games of the season.
Curious as to your takeaways on the text line at 960-960. Let's just get right into it.
All right.
Takeaways from the weekend. We could go a little bit further than that. Takeaways from the first three games of the season. Just go rapid fire. Go back and forth on a bunch of these, because I know we've each got a number of them. And again, text lines open at 960-960. I absolutely, first and foremost, if you were to say takeaways from the weekend or takeaways from a 3-0 start to the season, it's all about, for me, the attitude, the edginess, just the overall swagger they're playing with. I've loved it, Vix. They have been physical. They've been edgy. They've been grumpy on the ice. They've been willing to engage. They've stuck up for teammates, and they're playing with a chip on their shoulder. And it has been very, very visible through 9+ periods of hockey, whether it's Rasmus Anderson staring down not one, but two members of a post. Like, when he scored, I was at Rogers Place on Sunday night, and when he scored, I was like, is he going to do it again? As soon as he scored, I'm like, I wonder if he does it again. And then instantly, he started gliding. I'm like, he's doing it again. And he went right up to the glass and stared down. Just chose somebody. Don't even know if that person was bothering him or not. Just chose somebody in the crowd, stared an absolute hole right through them. And like, all of that stuff has been awesome to see. The physicality, whether it's been Pospisil, who's getting under the skin of opposing teams, Flyers and Oilers, Kirkland laying out Draisaitl on Sunday, Lomberg and Ball, like, they have been completely ready to engage and bring it physically. They've been completely ready to get into it after whistles and not back down from any of that stuff. And yeah, they just look it. I have no idea what the next 79 are going to bring, but they came into a season feeling like, yeah, we don't care what the outside world says. We believe we're a good team. And that chip on the shoulder and that edginess, I feel, has really translated through their first three games of the season.
First of all, I hope Rasmus Anderson does that for every goal on the road this season, because you see it and he scores a goal and then he locks eyes with somebody and just glides right to the glass. Like, there is no amount
like
of swagger you can
use
to describe
that. I feel if he's
that.
In, like, you know, somewhere a little more innocuous with less of a rivalry, I feel like...
No, keep doing it.
I don't know. I don't know if he's like...
Don't do it when you're down 5-1.
Carolina? I don't know if it happens against Carolina.
No, it has to. You got to keep doing it. It's all about attitude for the Calgary Flames this year.
I don't think it's a coincidence that Oilers and Canucks are the two teams that he's like, let's go, let's do this.
No, I mean, by proximity, I mean, both teams are in your backyard, so we have that going. And it is the two biggest rivals. So, yeah, there is something to it. I would just like to see it, because every time that he scores and he does that glide, locks eyes and just basically bumps the glass, I get a chuckle out of it. So I like it. But it goes back to the attitude and the, okay, if everybody wants to write us off at the beginning of the season, and I'm sure opponents have taken the Calgary Flames a little lightly to start the year. I would imagine the Vancouver Canucks and the Edmonton Oilers were both guilty of that. Certainly both teams did not get the result they were looking for after some first period success. But yeah, it goes back to the, okay, you don't think I'm going to do anything? You don't think I'm going to do anything? Well, screw you. This is us. We're going to be in your face. We're going to be finishing every check. We're going to be involved in every scrum after the whistle. And yeah, we're going to have a little bit of swagger, a little bit of confidence, because if the outside isn't going to believe in us, we'll believe in us instead. And we'll let that attitude come out and help us push this thing further. And so far, it's 3-for-3.
I've loved that part of it. And the more of that, the better.
You know
better
who doesn't? Jamie Drysdale.
I still don't understand why they were mad at both those hits.
Oh, both were perfectly fine.
Drysdale got belted twice by being unaware, didn't get hit in the head, just got hit. Pospisil got him on one and Coleman got him on the other. This is on Saturday against Philly. Both of them were fine. One of them was because he was trying to flag down a puck in the air with his hand.
Yeah, there's no fair catch.
Like, yeah, you're going to get hit. It's a physical sport. And then, like, the one time, who was it that tried to drop the gloves with Coleman now?
It was Farabee, wasn't
it? Yeah, Joel Farabee. Like, had his gloves off and was ready to go, and Coleman's like, are you serious? And I'm going to the bench. Like, so what are you doing?
Not to go on a side tangent, Farabee talked to the media after the game. I was in there with his scrum, and he goes, yeah, Coleman told me to drop my gloves, and I did, and he just went and changed. If I'm Coleman, get out of here. You're going to challenge me on a clean hit? It seemed like Philadelphia wanted to challenge Calgary after every single hit that game. And Coleman being the veteran, yeah, drop your gloves. I'm going to go this way to the bench because you're not worth my time.
In what world would Blake Coleman need to fight Joel Farabee after that hit?
Never.
There was nothing to answer the bell.
That's kind of that attitude, though, of I'm going to go do this, and I don't really care how you feel about it.
I found it quite funny how the Flyers, where you're right, every hard hit, they're like, we're going after you. That is a side tangent about one of the things that bothers me in the modern day NHL.
But to go back to the Flames attitude and how they present, they're fifth in the NHL in hits. The four teams in front of them have either played one more game or two more games than them. Like, there is certainly an emphasis.
They definitely
on making
have been,
it tough to play the Calgary Flames.
And they that physicality, the Oilers wanted no part of it on Sunday. They had nobody who was interested in being physical and pushing back in that regard.
They didn't even push back on Mike. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't think the slash was vicious at all to Stuart Skinner. But that happens. You have a chance to hear about it or see it in the intermission. Maybe they just thought, okay, Stuart Skinner maybe embellished a little bit.
Like
we don't
Kirkland,
even, but like nobody
Kirkland,
went back.
Like the fourth line center who, by the way, congratulations to him. That's
great
awesome
story
to see
too.
Him scoring his first goal at 28. But like Kirkland belts Draisaitl and nobody does a thing.
Pospisil still popped Connor McDavid in the first period, was it?
Yes.
And no
and
response.
I mean, Kirkland, like either way, you're like nothing. No even thought of going after a guy who got your two best players, and like Kirkland leveled Draisaitl. It was kind of a weird hit, but Draisaitl was hurt, like not injured, but he felt that nothing. And Kevin Ball and Ryan Lomberg and Rasmus Anderson and Mackenzie Weegar.
Lomberg. Did you say Lomberg?
Yeah, I said
Sorry.
Lomberg.
My apologies.
They're just, I've really liked that side of their game, and I think it's going to be something that plays into their identity as the year goes on.
And again, they're not going 82-0, but they have an opportunity to make sure that their opposition feels the 60 minutes they play against the Calgary Flames this season. And through those three games, the opposition has certainly been aware of the physicality of the Calgary Flames.
You know, I as we go through some of our other takeaways, kind of rapid fire here, but no points from Jonathan Huberdeau against the Oilers. And yet I thought that was his best game of the three. I thought Jonathan Huberdeau, that game in Edmonton might have been top two or three games that Huberdeau has played as a member of the Flames. He does not end up with a point, but he was dangerous and dynamic all night long. He was elusive. He was generating. He had opportunities himself. That comes after his four-point night against Philadelphia. And I thought Huberdeau was very good against the Flyers. I thought he was better against the Oilers and doesn't come away with a point. But that's three games now, 5 points in three games for Jonathan Huberdeau. And I did not love he and his line in the first two periods of the Canucks game. Ever since then, that line's been good. Huberdeau's been good. And that's a real promising thing early on in the year. As Wes and I talked about last week, does not like if the Flames are through this rebuild or retool or whatever we're calling it in 3 years, 2 years, 4 years, almost certainly Jonathan Huberdeau is going to be a member of the team when they get to their finish line. So it is incumbent and serves the Flames well to get the most out of him as a member of the Calgary Flames. And whether that's putting Pospisil down the middle to try to unlock something or signing Mantha and stapling him to that line with Jonathan, whatever they're going to try, it makes sense to try to get the most out of Huberdeau here. And so far, he has done that early on. And this is by far his best start in three seasons as a member of the Flames. So, look, I don't know how it's going to continue. I don't know how he's going to build on it. I have no idea. Again, it's 3 of 82, but there is nothing negative about what we've seen from Jonathan in his first three games, and the game that he doesn't record a point might have been his best one.
For me, he's moving better out on the ice. He seems more engaged. Don't discount some early season bounces that maybe he didn't get during the month of December last year. He did build some momentum in the second half of last year as well, which I'm not completely willing to write off, but he spoke a lot in training camp about okay, taking a different approach to his training, seeing mental coaches that specialize with athletes, whatever it is, whatever he's done that's worked for him over the summer has clearly paid off in the early part. And again, you mentioned it's only 3 of 82, so let's not put the cart before the horse here. But it just feels like he's got a bit more swagger and a little bit more engagement, and I think that that's helped him contribute to the Flames, regardless of whether or not he's producing points.
He looks like, again,
he looks lighter.
And he also, what he's doing, like I go back to the shift that the Flames scored their go-ahead goal on Sunday night. And Anthony Mantha scores it. Huberdeau does not get a point on the eventual game winner. And yet that shift from that line was about, I don't know, 70 seconds of zone time. And the overall way things went on that shift, it was all Huberdeau.
Yeah.
He must have made three passes. You're like, how did he? I didn't see them developing upstairs. And Wilsey and I were 6,000 feet away in that press box in Edmonton. And yeah, the plays and the back doors that he saw, you're like, that's the Jonathan Huberto that people were raving about after 115 points in Florida. Again, I don't know how this is going to continue, but I do know that that goal doesn't get scored if it's not for three or four great plays from Jonathan leading up to it, wearing the Oilers down, and then eventually puck thrown on net. Nice battle won by Rasmus, who is great, by the way, in Edmonton. Wins a battle, gets it to Pospisil. Pospisil on net, rebound, and there's Mantha to make it 2-1. That line's been great, and Jonathan has been really, really good as well.
I almost texted you the shift, just in quotes, and then I realized I was watching on delay because I had some Thanksgiving-related family things I had to tackle first, and then I also realized you were doing the call as well, so getting it 15 minutes late while you're working probably would have been I have no idea what he's talking about, which is generally the response. But Huberto, to me, just looks like he feels lighter, and that's not a weight thing, that's not a strength thing, it just feels like he's playing a little more free, and not even to say like fast and loose or things like that, it just feels like he's back to being a little bit more creative without trying to force that creativity, because last year, sometimes I felt like he would swing around and do a backwards 360 no-look pass when he could have made just a forehand pass and been, you know, a 90% completion rate versus trying something that was a higher risk but equal reward type of play. I think he's just found a little bit of a groove early in the season. Again, if it goes back to the summer training or working with a mental coach or just feeling more comfortable in season three with the Calgary Flames, whatever it is, it's worked through 180 plus minutes.
Goaltending. What have we made of two starts from Dan Vladar? 2-for-2 for him, 1 start for Dustin Wolf, and he wins the home opener on Saturday. Thoughts on goaltending through 3 games?
I haven't been as enamored with it as I was through preseason. And again, preseason, you throw out the door the second puck is dropped to start the regular season. But I haven't had the same confidence that I saw or that I felt with the Calgary Flames netminders in the preseason. Small sample size. Calgary Flames got I don't even want to say they got a little bit of help against the Edmonton Oilers because one clearly was offside, so it's got to come off the board. Second one by the letter of the law with Corey Perry in the crease. You impede the goaltender's ability to come out and play his position. That's going to come off the board.
Boy, that was more controversial than I thought it was going to be.
By the letter of the law, yeah, it's got to come off the board. A lot of people will argue the spirit of the game. In terms of, okay, we don't want scoring in this league, so on and so forth. But if you are in the blue paint and you impede a goaltender's ability to come out and cut down the angle or challenge a shot, it's probably going to come off the board. And I don't know if it was just because it was the Edmonton Oilers as well, but it felt like the first one goes in early, 2 more come off the board. I didn't know necessarily whether or not the next stop was going to be a stop or a goal, but that might reflect more in the past history in that building for the Calgary Flames than it does Dan Vladar. I'm still waiting for one of those games where the goaltender, and again, when you score 6 in the first game, 6 in the second game, and then go into Edmonton and put up the performance that you did, particularly in the after 20 minutes, I'm waiting for a goalie to steal a game. They haven't necessarily been in a position where they have to. Again, going back to Vancouver,
I thought Wolf was dynamite. I thought he was good. Philadelphia.
I thought he was good.
That's the game of the three the Flames have played. That's the one where
best goaltending performance of the three, hands down for me.
He could have had Huberto had not had 4 points, I might have gone Wolf his first star that night.
Did you go second?
He went second star. Yeah, like I thought he was one of the two or three best players in the game because I thought Philadelphia was all over Calgary from about midway through the first period on. Now, Flames reeled it back in the third period, which we'll talk about as well. But I thought Dustin Wolf was very important in that game and made a lot of high danger saves.
Wolper
look very, very part of the reason why I think maybe sometimes you don't get that feeling.
And from that's
Wolf,
where I was going to go.
Because
yeah.
When he's on, he doesn't look spectacular because a high danger save, he makes look very routine.
He does move east, west and north, south in his crease as good as any goalie in the NHL. So yes, he is. More often, I don't even say more often than that, because that's not even fair to Dustin Wolf. He gets there in a hurry so that he doesn't have to try and do something spectacular. and maybe perhaps my bar is a little too high right now, but I just haven't felt the full confidence of, okay, this is going to be locked down and away the Calgary Flames are going to go, or a goaltender gets the opportunity to steal one.
Yeah, and again, like, I had no issue with Vladar at all on Sunday against Edmonton. Yeah, there were a couple of posts
I find, and maybe you can disagree with me or not, I find Vladar gets better as the game goes on. And that's how he's been through his first two starts.
Yeah, maybe.
Where there hasn't been the shutting down that you would want early, whether it's the first 10 minutes or the first 20 minutes of a game. But his second and third periods, whether it's Vancouver or Edmonton, have been strong. I just, and maybe it's because it's either the goaltending battle or the way the game scripts have kind of unfolded. I still wonder where this goaltending journey, this goaltending battle takes us.
I'd say this, like, I'm going back to Wolf on Tuesday against Chicago,
yep.
Not because of anything Vladar did. I think Vladar's been fine. I think Wolf's been fine. I think goaltending has been strong for them, all things considered, through the first three games. But I'd still be alternating here for the next little bit. And you go home road for a little. At some point, Vladar will get a home start, and at some point, Wolf will get a road start. But I'd go right back to Wolf against Chicago and just keep it going. Both guys need to play. Both guys need to build their game up. And Ryan Huska has said all along that at no point does he see this being a number one, number two situation. It's almost certainly going to be a tandem all year long. So you might as well just keep rolling through that.
Well, I agree with the scheduling, because you could lay out the first four games relatively easy if you're the coaching staff, if you're the goalie staff, where, okay, on the road, we'll start Vladar in the season opener, start Wolf in the home opener. Next night, you're obviously going to flip goalies again, so that gives Vladar the start against Edmonton, and then you have a Tuesday night matchup with the Chicago Blackhawks where you go back to Wolf. So after four games, you're sitting at two starts apiece, and then from there, you can start maybe tinkering with whatever your plan is, particularly with how the schedule aligns. You have 3 days off before being in Seattle on Saturday, and then another couple of days before you welcome Pittsburgh in on Tuesday the 22nd. So there's going to be more flexibility or more of an ability to go, okay, you've probably earned another start here. Let's see if one goalie can develop not necessarily a run of games where you're playing five or six in a row, but all right, you've earned a situation where you get back-to-back starts or the other goalie has. I can think you can be more loose with your plan, but through four games, I think that this was the plan all along, and that's how it'll be sort of, I don't want to say unveiled, but that's how it'll play out.
I would have no problem if they alternated starts and, you know, maybe a shutout changes things or so. I would have no problem if they flip-flopped at this point. I really wouldn't, especially if both guys are giving you an opportunity, at least in the early stages. And I doubt they have a plan much more than a few games down the road, because why would you at this point? One thing that stood out to both of us, I know one thing that you brought up when we were getting ready for the show, third periods.
Cool.
I've been really impressed with the way Calgary's played in the third. The way that they locked things down against Philadelphia, not only locked things down, but like kept on pushing. And for the first time really in that game Saturday, they controlled and pushed in the third period opposed to the first 40 minutes of play. They took over. The Oilers looked old. They looked like they were on the second half of back-to-back too, and those legs looked like cement. The oldest team in the NHL looked like the oldest team in the NHL on Sunday night in the third period. And in Vancouver, that's when Calgary scored most of their goals and were able to take their first lead before winning it in overtime. So third periods, it's been a lot of situational awareness for the Flames so far through three games, and I think that's a real positive too.
Yeah, for me, they've seemed to get better as the games have gone on, and I don't know if that's a conditioning thing, a mental thing. I don't have the answer for it, but through three games, it's been perfect. And to me, the most important thing is they're not sitting on leads. They're not trying to protect a two-goal lead. They're trying to make it a three-goal lead, and I think that's very important, having a attack mentality through all this. Flames have an NHL leading 9 goals in the third period so far this season. And again, that's up against teams that have played four games. I think there's 3 or 4 teams that have played 4 games. That includes a team that's played 5 games. And their +7 goal differential in the third period leads the NHL too. So it just speaks to they managed to start building. I think I think a lot of this third period success, the groundwork has been laid in the second periods. And they're able to just continue their momentum, roll things forward. Once they get into the third period, another gear clicks. And then they're not just sitting on their heels trying to defend a one or a two goal lead. They're actively attacking and making it hard for their opponent to even generate momentum. And that's helped them through the first three games of the season.
Yeah, that was most on display in my eyes in the third period of Saturday's game against Philadelphia. That was a really strong period.
They get up a couple, and it's like, okay, are they going to, you know, one for it? Because you know the Edmonton Oilers are going to load up the Draisaitl and McDavid combo, and they're going to see, you know, 60% of the ice time, and are they going to play on their heels a little bit? No, then there was no even, to a certain degree, not a lot of concern about line matching either. There were multiple times out there that the Kirkland line was up against McDavid and Draisaitl, and it wasn't a, oh, I hope we don't get scored on when they're out there. It was a, let's keep the puck in the offensive zone and limit their ability to be impactful on the game. I've really liked that. We're going to head north mentality, and you know what? We'll worry about the rest when we're in our own zone.
Text line 96960. This reads, Pat, do you think the Flames should extend or would extend Connor Zeri to an 8-year extension like Gunther? You know, honestly, I don't think it would be out of the question. What, 8 years? I don't know, but I definitely think that if the Zeri camp all of a sudden was like, hey, let's talk extension, if you could get that number down a little bit, like, or if an 8-year deal is something that the Zeri camp is open to doing, if it also involves, you know, some benefit for the Flames. Like, are you going 8x8 for Zeri? Probably not. Would you be willing to go 8x5.5?
Oh, all day.
Then I think that that's a good starting point for conversation. So I think it's a worthy conversation to have, not knowing exactly where the players' camp would be. I don't know, but I think it'd be a very worthy conversation with the way Zeri has started his season as well. This reads, happy Thanksgiving, boys. Haven't given this many fist pumps since that Game 7 overtime win. This reads, quickest rebuild in NHL history. Lowell, who's with me? It's been a good first three games, I'll say that much. As somebody came in, a recognizable face that I won't name, popped his head into the hot stove after Saturday's win, said, how about those 2-0 Calgary Flames? And may have said something similar after the win on Sunday. How about those 3-0 Calgary Flames? Won't tell you who that is, but somebody recognizable. This says, honestly, team has more depth in the top nine and a solid forward defense. They're using underdog mentality to fuel their fire. Topher writes, guys, as a season ticket holder, I just want to have fun while they retool. Just make it fun to come to the rink. And this one reads, I won't read that one.
Oh,
which one?
I don't have access to it right now.
Oh,
so.
Okay. Oh, I thought you were also reading.
No, I just, you can't tease me like that and then not hit me with the goods.
Shub says, did you win a big pot on the plane ride home? Playing cards. No, I did not. First time on the team charter. You know what it was?
Look straight ahead at the seat in front of you.
Look straight ahead and look down. Be as inconspicuous as possible is what I did. Like, this is your domain. I'm just gonna put my head down. It was fun. It was a fun weekend for the Flames. Good on them. Big win in Philadelphia. And honestly, the win over Edmonton is the signature win of the three, with no disrespect to how fun the Wednesday game in Vancouver was. To beat the Oilers, to make Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl look very ordinary for 60 minutes, that was a signature win. And they trailed for a good chunk of time, and I know that Oilers fans are probably still lamenting two waved off goals and a couple of posts. But the Flames survived, and then they took over. And from the back half of the second period on, they were in full control and their full marks for a 4-1 victory over Edmonton. So 3-for-3 to start the season are the Calgary Flames. We're underway this hour on Flames Talk with Aaron Vickers of NHL.com. My name is Pat Steinberg on a Thanksgiving Monday. This hour of Flames Talk is coming at you from our Groundworks downtown studio, your local experts for foundation and crawl space repair.
Flames Talk is on the air and streaming on the Sportsnet mobile app. Sportsnet 960 The Fan, Calgary.
Daily Flames Roundtable time on this Thanksgiving Monday for Mercedes-Benz. Country Hills. The simpler way to sell your vehicle is with their expertise. Visit Mercedes-Benz Country Hills just minutes from the airport with Aaron Vickers of NHL.com. My name is Pat Steinberg, and now the voice of the Flames, Derek Wills, joins us to complete our Daily Flames roundtable. Gents, 3 for 3 to start the season of the Calgary Flames. Willsy, we just did our weekend takeaways after what was a really fun weekend for the Flames as they improved to 6 out of a possible 6 points. And in those three games, Jonathan Huberdeau, 3 goals, 5 points. And he's been far more productive. He has had his first ever 4-point game as a member of the Flames. What's different about Jonathan Huberdeau early on this season? What is different 3 games into this year than Huberdeau in the past as a member of this team?
Well, great question, Pat. And just to put things in perspective, so that was his first 4-point game as a member of the Flames, but the 16th of his NHL career, which tells you how good he was for so many seasons as a member of the Panthers. And I had a great chat with him prior to the game yesterday, and he talked about his offseason. He did change some things as far as his offseason program, really worked on being stronger and more explosive, admitted that he's never been the greatest skater. He gets that, but I think he can overcome that because he thinks the game at such a high level. So he tried to change things up, to change up the results this season. And we're only 3 games in, but so far so good. 3 goals and 5 points, as you pointed out. And he is a guy who just looks way more engaged to me. And the fact that he was able to, get a goal in the first game and then 4 points in the second game, that's got to help his confidence. And he's admitted in the past that his confidence took a huge hit, going from 115 points in his final season with the Panthers to 107 points in his first 2 seasons with the Flames combined. How would your confidence not take a huge hit? And obviously he's taken a lot of heat from not only Flames fans, but people around the hockey world. So he wanted to bounce back and have a good year and to help his team win games. And he's done that. And I really give the Flames coaches a lot of credit for thinking outside the box a little bit and putting him on the penalty kill. And I think Wednesday's game against the Canucks is a better example than Saturday's game against the Flyers or Sunday's game against the Oilers, because the Flames took 17 minutes in penalties in their season opener. And when you look at the first period and all the penalties they took trying to get at JT Miller, really Jonathan Huberdeau would have been eliminated from most of that period if he wasn't being used on the penalty kill. But they used him on the penalty kill. He was, I think, a good penalty killer, as he was late in the preseason, and that has carried over into the regular season. And I think that's helped keep him in games, engaged in games. Maybe it has him focused a little bit more on what to do without the puck and defensively. So he's just been a ton of fun to watch this year, and it's good to see that all of the hard work that he put in during the offseason has paid off for early in the regular season.
Yeah, and he came to Calgary in kind of a tough situation, not to make excuses for the year-over-year point drops or the fact that he had 107 points over 2 seasons after scoring 115 with the Florida Panthers, like Willsy highlighted. But year one, you're trying to replace 2 franchise faces in Johnny Gaudreau and Matthew Tkachuk. Year two, you have the pressures of bouncing back from the worst year-over-year point drop in NHL history. And now that he's in year three, maybe he's just out there enjoying the game. Like, he doesn't have to focus on, trying to be the guy or trying to be this or trying to be that for the Calgary Flames like he was for the Florida Panthers. And he's just out there kind of resetting mentally. And you talk about the different approaches he had in the offseason, Willsy. To me, he's just back out there and he's more engaged, absolutely. But to me, he looks like he's just playing more free, playing lighter, playing smarter, to be honest, too. And I think that comes a little bit with playing lighter, where he's just getting back to enjoying the game again, and you don't have to worry about what happened last year, the year prior, and the engagement level, like you said, is up there with different roles and different ways he's being utilized by the coaching staff. To me, he just looks like he's having more fun out there, and maybe it's a byproduct early of the points or getting some early season bounces, but he's got a little bit more swagger without adding the element of low percentage highlight real plays in his game. I think he's playing a little bit more straightforward, but he's still executing those passes that we've seen in highlight clips with the Florida Panthers and at times with the Calgary Flames. To me, I just think he's playing lighter and he's playing more engaged, and as a result, that's helping the confidence. And again, the start with the points and the fact that he's leading the Calgary Flames in points, doesn't hurt as well.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly don't know exactly what the reasons are, because that's, you know, we can speculate and guess on that a lot. And I think that you guys are probably all like a combination of everything or whatever the case may be. Like there's, I don't know exactly why, but what I do know or what I've seen is that he is way more dynamic with the puck in three games this year than we have seen for long stretches in his first two seasons as a member of the Flames. Again, Willsie, a little earlier, I was talking about Sunday's win in Edmonton. And, you know, I thought of the three games Huberdeau's played, the game in Edmonton was his best and most dangerous and most dynamic, and he doesn't pick up a point. He picked up four the night before, and he was very good against Philly, but I thought he was even better against Edmonton. Just kind of shows you how random points can be sometimes. But like that Mantha game-winning goal doesn't happen if they don't have all kinds of zone time, and probably their best five-on-five shift of the night was the 70 seconds or whatever it was that led up to Mantha's 2-1 goal, and part of that was three elite passes from Jonathan through the back door that, you know, every other player on the ice didn't see except him. And how many times have we seen him try to make those plays, but they get easily intercepted, or they're behind the intended target or in the feet of the intended target? And it just, the thing that makes Jonathan Huberdeau what he is, or one of the main things that makes him what he is as an offensive player, is his ability to find players and distribute the puck at a level that most guys in this league can't, and to put pucks on sticks in areas where 95 or 98% of the players on the ice aren't going to know that he's going to be doing it. And while we've seen that at times through his first two seasons with the team, it's been a frustrating thing. And how many times have fans talked about him passing up a shooting opportunity to try to pass it to somebody in a low percentage area? Well, now those passes that we're seeing are working, and they're finding guys in grade A areas. And even though they might seem like low percentage plays, and they probably are low percentage plays for most guys in this league, for Huberdeau, they're not, because that's what makes him a special hockey player. And we're seeing more of that. And I think it all is a confidence thing, a mindset thing. The one other guess that I will throw out there in terms of why it could be different, because on the one hand, you're like, here's what we're seeing. On the other hand, it's like, okay, why are we seeing what we're seeing? My other guess on that part is, I think the entire attitude of the team this year, the entire mindset of the team this year, plays perfectly into Jonathan's individual mindset. No spotlight, count us out, whatever. We still believe that we're good. And for Jonathan, it's way less of a spotlight this year than in his first two seasons. Way less expectations, way less people talking about him. Like, okay, don't expect anything from me. That's fine. I still believe I'm a good player. And so now with a little bit more confidence thrown in there, We're seeing a really dynamic player through three games. Hopefully he can build on it. Hopefully he can continue what we've seen so far through the first three games.
And just think about how much pressure he must have felt, more so in his first season with the Flames than in his second, because he was basically asked to replace Johnny Gaudreau, play the same position, got basically the same contract that they had offered Johnny Gaudreau. Had the exact same number of points, 115, the season before. And when you're asked to basically step into the same spot and replace the most beloved Flames player since Jerome Iginla, that's a lot of pressure. That's a lot of weight. And I think Jonathan would be the first person to tell you that maybe he didn't deal with that all that well at times. And I also don't think that he had the best relationship with the old head coach, and that was probably a factor as well. But, you know, as we all know, he is a highly skilled player, one of the best playmakers in the game. As Ryan Huska told us on Sunday when we chatted with him, Jonathan Huberdeau is a big, strong guy and is a very effective player when he moves his feet. And that's the one thing the coaches, I think, throughout his career have stressed to him. You might not be the best skater, but you got to move your feet to be at your best. So he's been doing that this season. And I also think that his new line mates have been a good fit for him. You've got Martin Pospisil, who has transitioned from playing the role of a pesky winger to playing the role of a pesky centerman. And the Flames head coach told us yesterday he's been getting better and better every game. And then you've got a shooter on the other side, and Anthony Mantha, who's big and strong as well and can get in there and dig out pucks in the forecheck. And certainly he gives Huberdeau a target if Huberdeau's going to pass instead of shoot. And, you know, he's been going to the hard areas too, guys. Think about the goal he scored off his shoulder against the Flyers on Saturday night. If you don't go to the net, you don't score that goal. He went to the net, he got rewarded, and it's been good to see him get rewarded with 5 points and maybe more importantly with a few wins to start the season.
It is our Daily Flames Roundtable with Derek Wills and Aaron Vickers. My name is Pat Steinberg. Guys, and Vicks and I talked a little bit about this earlier in the hour. Willsie, I'm curious if you've seen it the same way. Like, have you noticed Calgary's commitment to physicality? Have you noticed their commitment to laying the body and making that a huge part of their identity through three games the way I have?
How could you not notice it? It's been clear since the start of the preseason, fellas. How many big body checks have we seen Flames players throw? I mean, Braden Paul probably is the grand marshal of the hit parade, but he's not the only guy. I mean, Adam Klapka has had some huge hits. Martin Pospisil has had some big body checks. And there have been some guys who aren't really known as hard hitters of throwing hard hits throughout the preseason and the first few games of the regular season. I really think that the Flames believe that that not only should be part of their identity, but has to be part of their identity if they're going to be successful and prove most of the insiders wrong. I mean, people pick the Flames to finish 31st in a 32-team league. I don't think that, even if they won't admit it, I don't think that that sat very well with the guys. And I think they've tried to come up with ways to prove everybody around the hockey world wrong. And if they can be difficult to play against, and there's a bunch of ways to be difficult to play against, but you know, two of the things that I've certainly noticed this season, there's been a real focus on pace. I'm not sure they're the most fleet of foot team in the NHL, but you can play fast without being the fastest skaters. And I think for the most part, they've done that. And then there's the physicality. Yeah, they've been banging and crashing and trying to make life difficult for the other team's defense. You try to wear them down over the course of a 60 or more minute game. And then they've also targeted the other team's top players. Think about that big body check on Connor McDavid yesterday and how the Oilers captain reacted to it. He was already frustrated. I just think that poured fuel on the fire. And Leon Draisaitl took a huge hit, and he didn't like that either. So I think the Flames have done a great job making life miserable for their opponents. And it's maybe the biggest reason why they're 3-0 to start the season.
Yeah, they currently sit fifth in the NHL in hits, and the four teams ahead of them have either played four or five games this season. So it's not an accident that the Calgary Flames hit total is what it is. And it's not just finishing checks for me. It's the old adage of let them know that you're there. And you think of the Backlund tap on Stuart Skinner or the scrums after the whistle, things of that sort. Generally, the Flames are playing a more aggressive brand than we've seen, and they have the personnel to do it this season, whether it's Pahal, Ball, Lomberg, Pospisil, Kadri, Coleman. Like, you can run up and down the lineup, and each line or each pair has at least one or two guys that is going to definitely finish a check and let the, to your point, Willsie, let the other defense, for example, wear them out over the course of a game. You've got Uyghur and Anderson willing to mix it up on the back end as well, in addition to Ball and Pahal too. So you've got that. Calgary may not win every game this season. I know that might be a shock to some, particularly the fact that they've started 3-0. But they sure seem dedicated on making sure that the opposition knows they're in for a long, tough night physically. And I think that brand of hockey, it'll wear on the Calgary Flames a little bit, but it does give you a chance to wear out the opposition so you can have such strong second and third periods and really set the table the further you go into a game.
It'll definitely, it's a hard way of playing. There's no doubt about it. It's a hard brand of hockey, but one thing that I have found very encouraging through last season's now 85 games under head coach Ryan Huska is Calgary's commitment to playing for this coach. And it starts with this veteran group, and this veteran group is now kind of that core six guys, and that core six kind of sets the tone for the rest of the team. And they play for this coach, and you know, this coach has made work ethic and work rate a really integral part of the way they play. And so that's kind of the beginning of it. That's kind of the non-negotiable. And through 82 games last year, what you count on one hand, how many times you're like, oh, Flames dogged it that night. There might have been nights where they weren't good enough. There might have been nights where the other team was better. There might have been nights where they got, you know, bounces went against them. But very rarely did you come away from a game last season saying, oh, the Flames just didn't work. They quit. They did. Like, at no point was that a thing that you were ever worried about. And through three games this year, you're seeing a lot of the same things. And so part of that mindset, I believe, is being physical. And there's no doubt, you're right, Wilsey, right from the beginning of the preseason, that's something that we've seen, whether it's been Pahal, whether it's been Lomberg, whether it's been Kevin Ball, whether it's been Rasmus Anderson, Michael Backlund, Justin Kirkland, Martin Pospisil. Like, guys are making sure, Blake Coleman, guys are making sure that this is something that they have as part of their DNA. And I like the way they have not backed down. I like the way that physicality has set the tone in three games and in two of the three games, and definitely Sunday's game. The other team has kind of been like, yeah, not interested in being a part of this. Edmonton had no interest in matching Calgary's physicality on Sunday night. None. And you mentioned it. Draisaitl got licked and McDavid got licked. And at no point did the Oilers have any... have any interest in going after the Flames or giving it back to them or anything like that. More you do that, and the more that you make that part of your DNA, yeah, it's tough for the Flames to do over 82 games, but it's also tough for the opposition to play against the Flames over 82. So I've really liked that as part of their identity so far.
Yeah, and love them or hate them, the Oilers miss Evander Kane, because in a game like Sunday's, I think he would have been the guy to step up physically and challenge the Flames that way. But you're right, Pat. No Oilers did that. And the Flames were certainly the more physical of the two teams and definitely deserved to win that hockey game. So it was a fun one. And you talked about Ryan Huska. And as you guys know, I've been a huge fan since he was the head coach of the Flames AHL affiliate and then became an assistant coach at the NHL level. And he was my guy when they were looking for a new head coach. And I was so happy he got the job. And you know, I think he'd admit that he had a lot to learn in his first season as an NHL bench boss, but he's a student of the game and he's hard, but he's fair. And I think the players respect that. And I think it's just so important that what the coaches, not just Ryan Huska, but the assistants as well, what they've preached to the team since day one of training camp is this is how we have to play to be successful. So when the coach is hammering that into your head and then you have success doing it, I think it's so much easier for the coach to deliver his message to the players. If the coaches are saying, guys, we got to play this way to win, and you play that way and you lose, it's harder. But when you play that way and you win, you're like, hey, I think the coach is onto something here. So we should probably listen to what he has to say. So yeah, for so many reasons, the Flames are off to a fantastic start this season. They played some really good hockey. I know they scored 6 in each of their first two games, but fellas, my favorite game they played this season was on Sunday, the Battle of Alberta. You know, we knew the Oilers were going to be a desperate team after starting the season 0-2, and the Flames made it very difficult for them to play the brand of hockey they wanted to play. And when the Oilers weren't ready to match the Flames' physicality, then the Flames started to take the game over. And I just love how they defended. I love how they played without the puck. I love how hard they made life for Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid. I just think a blueprint game for the Flames going head-to-head against their provincial rival. And it was a lot of fun to watch that 4-1 win over the Oilers at Rogers Place. And it's a shame that we only get 3 battles of Alberta this season.
And now a chance to go 4-for-4 against Chicago as the Flames are back at home on Tuesday night. We'll do the roundtable from the Dome on Tuesday, Wilsey. For now, have a great rest of your Thanksgiving Monday, my friend. We will see you Tuesday morning.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving to you guys and to our listeners as well.
Derek Wills, Aaron Vickers, my name is Pat Steinberg. That is your Daily Flames Roundtable, and that'll start to wrap us up this hour. Shan Vergie, Cam Hughes, our producers this hour, and the Daily Flames Roundtable brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. The simpler way to sell your vehicle is with their expertise. Visit Mercedes-Benz Country Hills just minutes from the airport.